listening to Patty Pigskin with Gary Somerville in association with DraftKings.
How's it going? I'm Gary Somerville. It's episode 20 of Patty Pigskin in association with DraftKings from Boston, Massachusetts. Wow. What a fucking week in the NFL. Trade deadline day was Tuesday and it certainly didn't disappoint. Some kind of expected moves were made, but some absolute shockers out of nowhere. So, this week, I have a man on the show all the way from Mullingar, County Westmeath in Ireland. That man is Joe Coyne of the Rumble podcast, who's been in Boston for a week, watching literally all of the sports, all of the teams in Boston. Me and Joe are going to chat about the big trades that went down this week in the NFL. And I'll hassle him for his week 9 picks as well. And we have the beer review back on this week. Didn't have a beer review last week because it was just me talking to Stephen all the way over in Ireland. So with Joe this week here with me. Apparently he's fond of a gargle, but I'll let him answer those accusations himself when he comes on. So yeah, we're going to have a new beer. We're going to chug that while we're chatting away about football. So stay tuned for that. And then I'll wrap up with my Paddy's picks for week 9. And just before we get into the show, a couple of things to update you on. We had a Facebook competition there last week for a pair of pink and white breast cancer limited edition Nike Vapor Jet 4.0 receiver gloves. And congratulations to Adam Scott Keaton, who won those on our Facebook page. Well done. And an update on our Irish Cancer Society DraftKings drive that we did. I said for every person that would sign up with our Paddy promo code to DraftKings, I was going to give a tenner out of my own pocket to the Irish Cancer Society. And last time I checked, I'll get a final tally, but last time I checked, it was 30 people. So that's 300 quid that I'm going to donate to the Irish Cancer Society, which is fantastic. So if you're listening and you're one of those 30 people that signed up, thank you very much. Really much needed funds for the Irish Cancer Society. In my eyes, can't get enough funds. So as much money as we can donate is fantastic. And just one more thing, social media, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, at Paddy Pigskin. And yeah, wherever you're listening to us, please subscribe and review. So iTunes, Google Play Music, or if you're that way inclined, Stitcher Radio or TuneIn. So enough of all that, let's get into this week's show. Can you say indeed? An easy one this week for our player dedication, the great Barry Sanders. Sanders was born in Wichita, Kansas in 1968 and played his high school ball there in Wichita. He enrolled at Oklahoma State and played for the Cowboys. He actually wore number 21 from 1986 to 1988. His monster college season came in 88, where he had a mind-boggling 2,850 yards rushing and 42 touchdowns in only 12 games. Averaged 7.6 yards per carry and 237.5 yards per game on the ground. This resulted in the Heisman Trophy that year. The Lions selected him third overall and swapped to number 20 after the Lions' great Billy Sims in the 1980s. He played for the Lions from 89 to 1998, went to the Pro Bowl every year as a Lion, which is a crazy accomplishment. Six of these were All-Pro selections. He was four times rushing leader in the NFL, in 1990, 94, 96, and 97. But despite his individual success, he actually never reached the Super Bowl with the Lions and retired in 1999. His stats finished with, in the pro career, 15,269 rushing yards and 2,921 receiving yards. He had 109 total touchdowns, and he's in both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame, and his number 20 jersey is retired for the Lions. So episode 20, the great Barry Sanders, all-time running back for the Detroit Lions. This episode is for you. This week's show, I have Joe Coyne from the Rumble podcast back home in Ireland. Joe, Welcome to Boston. Well, you've been here a week, but thanks very much for coming on to Paddy Pigskin.
Yeah, no problem. Like, it's my last day in Boston now. I'm actually waiting to go to the airport at the moment.
Yes,
I'm fitting this in last second.
As well as being a host, I'm also a chauffeur, so I'm going to drop you off to Logan Airport later on.
Yeah.
So you've had quite the adventurous week in Boston. I said on the intro there, you've done all the sports. So
all the sports.
Tell us what you've done before we get into NFL talk since you've gotten here.
So Wednesday night was just quiet night, kind of got over, chilled out, had a few beers, whatever. Thursday was the start of the sports. Went to TD Garden to see the Boston Bruins take on the San Jose Sharks.
Nice.
Which was my first ever hockey game I've watched. I never watched it until it was rendered, so I was a bit out of depth there.
Yeah, and the Bruins, like, Boston is a big hockey town, so yeah, they take their hockey very seriously.
Very good atmosphere as well. Like.
Yeah, and we actually had one of the players for last year just lived around the corner from us there, but he got traded to the New Jersey Devils. So he was from Dorchester in Boston, so people love their hockey players here in Boston. So they got the win anyway. So you're off to a 1-0 start.
Yeah, then Friday went to see Boston College against FSU. And of course, Boston College hammered the fuck out of them. Didn't think they would beat them that badly.
Yeah, and FSU were definitely on the way down. If you look at where they were 2 or 3 years ago.
When Jameis Winston was rocking around.
And you had the likes of Kelvin Benjamin, who we'll talk about later on. And, yeah, you know, some of the guys on defense there. Amazing program. And now someone like BC, who aren't great offensively,
aren't that great at all, like,
put an absolute whooping on them. So it was great for us, you know, because we got to see some good offensive play.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the same time, sad to see it at a program like FSU. And
starting going downhill.
A buddy of me and Jer, Conrad Cook, plays for the Rebels. I think he went to FSU and even played a bit. He's pretty disappointed now with how they're doing. So the Seminoles need to regroup. So that was 2-0.
2-0.
And we actually got to, you didn't, but I actually bumped into Matt Hasselbeck that night, which was, I was just getting pizza, and I look over, and there he is. I'm like, jeez, that's fucking Matt Hasselbeck.
I was too busy eating hot dogs around the
stadium. It was pure chance how it happened, because I walked literally over to the other side of the stadium, and there he was. And
yeah.
He was grand, because he played for BC.
Yeah.
So that's why he was there. They were introducing a few former players and that. So
Mark Herzlick and all that.
Mark Herzlick, yeah, who actually got treated when he had cancer. He got treated where I work at Dana-Farber, so... A lot of people, Dana-Farber, love Mark Herzlick, even though he beat their Patriots to win a Super Bowl, which, me being a Giants fan, is fucking fantastic. So that was 2-0, and then you went to...
Gillette Stadium on Sunday.
You went to Gillette, so how was that?
That was really good. Good experience for me. I loved it. Like, the stadium's absolutely amazing. Look, I've been to MetLife and I've been to the Superdome before, but I have to say Gillette's, like, miles above the rest of them. Just looks amazing, just walking up to it and all that sort. That was more so for my friend, who was an actual Patriots fan.
Yeah.
But, of course, that was a really tight game now. The atmosphere was a bit weird.
Mm.
A lot of shouting, a lot of drunkenness and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Which you won't be used to seeing that much in, like, a lot of Irish sports. Not that much drunkenness that early on.
Yeah. Well, we say on this show sometimes, like, Americans, they can't handle our drink the way we can.
Oh, no, they can't at all.
Like. They start tailgating at 10 a.m. and some of them are fucking hammered by the time the game starts.
Yes, we got there about, like, 11:30, just went straight in, just started looking around, that sort of stuff. People are fucking twisted already, like, so.
Irish people have highly evolved livers, you see. This is, like, hundreds of years...
All the abuse
has just, like, our livers have evolved to take this sort of punishment over the years. So they got another win, so you're 3-0.
Another W, yeah.
Yeah, so you went 100% on the first three games. And then Monday night we went to the Celtics.
TD Garden again.
So you got to see the two sports there. And again, another win, so 4-0.
Lucky charms.
I saw you had a status up. It was like... if any of the Boston franchises want to give you a shout
for a playoff game,
you're the lucky charm. Yeah.
More than welcome to come over.
So I'm a big Red Sox fan, working outside Fenway, obviously, and they could have done with you there at the Red Sox game, because that was the one team you didn't get to see play. And
I was kind of hoping they'd still be playing when we come over, just to kind of buzz with, like, well, because every time I've been in America, the World Series has been on.
Yeah.
Just the way it's worked out, like, so.
And now,
wouldn't it be nice to have the actual local team in it?
Yeah. No, definitely. And now. The game 7 is actually going to be on in an hour or two, so
yeah.
I'm sure you'll try and catch a little bit of that in the airport.
In the airport, yeah.
So for some of our listeners who haven't a fucking clue who you are, so before we get into the football talk, tell us a little bit about the Rumble podcast. So some people may not have heard of it before, and anytime I'm on another show, they always give me a chance to plug Paddy Pigskin.
Yeah.
So here's your chance to tell us why they should listen to the Rumble. So go for it.
Well, the Rumble podcast is kind of a brainchild of a friend of both of ours, Dermot Croon. Obviously, Dermot was over here last December with another friend of ours.
Yeah.
And so one day, Dermot's kind of got on to me, Dermot started listening to a lot of podcasts and that sort of stuff, probably a bit of inspiration from yourself as well, and just kind of said, Shook, do you want to give it a go? I can talk shite for days. So he asked me, I was the first person he asked. He asked another friend who he didn't end up getting in on it. But then we just kind of one day sat down, said we'd talk about NFL, record it, end up going an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah.
That was just kind of the start of it, really. Like, we kind of tried to, we're trying to cover like a wide range of topics.
Yeah.
But I think the more we kind of get into it, we're trying to start to find our niche in like.
Sure, yeah.
We've done a few episodes about Irish American football. Obviously, you playing it. I'm playing it at the moment. And that kind of seemed to kind of boost us a lot, like a lot of shares, a lot of likes, and that sort of way more listens in those episodes.
Yeah.
We also like do about films and that sort of stuff. We did one previously, like before we went to see Thor Ragnarok, we recorded outside and then recorded
after
as well.
Where did you record that?
In the car.
In the car. That's fucking impressive.
Outside
that
the cinema, like.
Outside Liffey Valley, which is like, I'm from that area. Like, it's like a couple of country lads sitting recording a podcast outside Liffey Valley is dangerous territory.
That's
but,
what we see a lot anyway.
No, but fair play. And I listen to you and I enjoy that, you know, you cover a couple of different topics and stuff. So, and you mentioned you play football back home. So you play for the Mullingar.
The Westmead.
Well, sorry. There's two teams now, isn't there? There's Mullingar and Westmead, or am I getting them mixed
up? No, it's just Westmead.
Okay, right.
But we kind of have like a few, we used to have a few flag teams as well.
That's
we used
right.
to have kind of Mullingar and Athlone. But then we just kind of stuck them together at the end of the...
So your pre-season, your strength and conditioning program is going to be starting up soon, is it?
2 days.
Two days.
Going to be pretty tired going to that, but...
All the shite you've been eating over here now is going to come back to haunt you.
Stop. All the Dunkin' Donuts.
Well, yeah, that's what strength... that's what pre-season's for. Get all the rust off. So, well, best of luck with your season and best of luck with the Rumble. I'll be listening. So,
cheers.
I encourage anybody listening to this to tune in to that. You can find it on SoundCloud, right?
On SoundCloud, yeah.
And you have a Facebook
page.
And on
Instagram, Facebook, and that sort of stuff.
Okay, so that's that out of the way. And as you know, because you've listened to Paddy Pigskin before.
Nervous.
And we had a week off last week because it was only me talking to Steve over in Ireland. But this week we're back on with our third installment of the weekly beer review. So we like chatting football, we're Irish, we like having alcohol. So, this week, I'm going to take it out of the bag for you. So, I'm going to crack one open. You're not going to see the name yet. So, just so people know, we actually have got beer here. So, there you go. Don't reveal the name yet. But that's what it is. So, I'm going to explain why I picked this particular beer. Now, this is my backup option. Because I went to the local off-license or liquor store. They didn't have what I wanted. So, this is the backup option. Okay. So, what I have here is Perpetual. And it's an IPA. Where is it from? It is from... It's from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Hershey, Pennsylvania. It's Perpetual. So why do you think I chose Perpetual?
I'm kind of stoked now, Sarah. You put me on the spot.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for a weird reaction from you because you're on the spot. So I picked Perpetual because the Cleveland Browns are perpetually fucking shit. And they mess shit up every year. So they are perpetually awful at being a football franchise. And this week was no different because, as we'll get to in a bit more detail next week, they fucked up the trade with their cross Ohio rivals, the Bengals. They're supposed to receive AJ McCarron. And it all got fucked up. So, they're just perpetually a bad football franchise. So that's what I'm going for this week. So cheers. We'll have a little sip of this. And enjoy that. It's an IPA. You're probably not into IPAs.
Oh, be the Lord, man.
So it might not be the most interesting of reviews if you're not into it. But I'm going to ask you for a score out of 10 at the end of the show, okay?
Okay.
So enjoy that. You don't look like you're enjoying it, but I'm a big IPA man. I've gotten Jer onto IPAs now. Jer fucking hated IPAs.
It's definitely a different taste for a man that usually drinks like Guinness and stuff.
Yeah,
like that. It's a different taste.
It's an acquired taste. But if you ever want to live over here in the Northeast, you're just going to have to deal with it.
Have to get used to it.
So the beer is starting to go down. Right, we're going to get to the trades. Trade deadline, as I said earlier on, trade deadline was Tuesday, 4 p.m. Eastern time, which was 8 p.m. over back in Ireland.
Yeah.
I think this is a bit stupid that's at 4 p.m. first of all, because on the West Coast it's only 1 p.m.
Yeah.
So they're not even getting
kind of fuck stuff up for people like.
They're not even getting the full day of business in and they have to panic and get these trades in. Mm. So the first one that happened before we even got to the trade deadline was Monday. And after much talk and a bit of a holdout, it was Dwayne Brown, really good left tackle from the Texans.
Yeah, big holdout.
Big holdout. He'd been holding out for what, the first 6 or 7 weeks?
Yeah.
And he went to the team that he just played on Sunday night. So he's gone to Seattle Seahawks. So what did you think about this trade?
I think it makes total sense for the Seahawks anyway, because like as you were saying there, they reworked Wilson's contract to sign Brown. I suppose Wilson would have given up any money they're willing for him to ask, because
yeah,
finally gets a premium left tackle he's been screaming for the last few years.
Yeah, and the O-line has looked shaky there. And
yeah, like in all reality, all they need is a bit of pass protection to become that more elite team to were a few years ago. Like they're not that worried about getting the run game going when you have Russell Wilson who can run around and make magic happen anyway.
Yeah, and Wilson seems to come into form in the second half of the season now.
Yeah,
so
big time.
To add someone like that, and he's getting comfortable with the offense, he's spreading the ball around.
Yeah,
coming off
his biggest passing game ever,
which was an absolute barn burner of a game.
Yeah,
and just to talk about some of the numbers, they only had about $800,000 in salary cap room, so he actually reworked the contract to free up about $4.17 million. So, I mean, he took a bit of a chunk. He'll get that money back
easily,
some shape or form.
Sponsors or whatever.
But he's doing all right on those kind of fronts. But, I mean, he gave up a chunk of change just to get a really good blindside guy protecting him there on the line. So, just some details on the trade. Initially, it was going to be Brown to Seattle in return for the Seattle cornerback Jeremy Lane. And they were also supposed to get a second rounder in 2019. This is the Hawks now.
Yeah.
The Texans, and they were going to get a fifth rounder from Seattle in 2018. But then, as we found out, they had to change because Jeremy Lane failed his physical.
Not fit.
Stays in Seattle, so they actually had to upgrade it to a third rounder in 2018.
Right.
Which is interesting because he played on Sunday.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and I think he had like a bruised knee or a bruised thigh or something.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, he failed the physical. So I don't know what happened there, but
bit of dodginess.
They definitely had to rework the books a little bit, because I guess they have to absorb some of his salary now because he's still on the books.
Probably have to cut someone now as well.
Yeah, so they have an extra. So it'll be interesting to see now what they do with the extra roster space. So, so you think that's a great pickup for Seattle?
Great pickup for Seattle. Not sure what to make from the Texans' point of view. I suppose you did play the first few games without Dwayne Brown anyway. Deshaun Watson looked pretty good anyway.
Yeah.
So he probably just needed a left tackle because he's going to run around anyway for a while. So.
Absolutely, yeah. So that was one of the major trades of the week. The next one was, this was a big one. I'll say why, but Garoppolo, the backup quarterback here in New England. Monday night, he was traded to the 0-8 San Francisco 49ers.
Happened while we were in TD Garden.
And we started to get the notifications to our phone, and we were like, holy shit, Garoppolo's gone. And then you could see people slowly
whipping out their phones.
The lights were coming on, and people were fucking losing their
minds.
The
person right in front of you heard you say Garoppolo's gone straight away, took out his phone onto it.
And it was just like wildfire. And you said you were in the bathroom
at
there.
At halftime, and people were just losing their minds. Couldn't understand why they only got a second rounder first.
Yeah.
Couldn't understand why it was happening.
Yeah, so on that point, QB needy 49ers, they got the second rounder, which is almost going to be a force, let's be honest. Yeah. They're 0-8, so it's probably going to be like the 33rd or the 34th pick or something.
It's going to be off
there anyway. And there were actual reports going around. Turns out to be fake news now, but there were people saying, the Browns offered the Pats multiple first rounders and all.
Jeez.
Turns out that was all bullshit.
Yeah.
So they got the second rounder. Surprising, though. Because they just got rid of Brissett. And they cut their quarterback off the practice squad there a few weeks ago.
Only 2 weeks ago.
So, literally the only quarterback...
Tom Brady.
At that moment in time was Brady. So
40-year-old, like so.
It's a bit of a bold predicament to put yourself in.
It is.
Especially now that the AFC East is a lot better this year.
Definitely,
and it's competitive.
A lot more competitive.
They're not rolling over.
For a few years,
And it's great. I'm sure a lot of Pats fans... Yes, they want to keep winning, but they also want
a bit more
competition, and it makes players more hungry, I think, when they're actually having to work for their
better
meal.
Games to watch as well, and that sort of
absolutely.
Stuff. You won't be just going to Foxborough to constantly watch them hammer teams. And
3-13 Jets or fucking Dolphins or 4-12 or whatever. So the interesting thing was that if they kept Garoppolo and they wanted to keep him next year, let's say they put the franchise tag on him, he would have been getting the average money, the average salary of the top five quarterbacks,
yeah.
which is big money now. Because you had the likes of Stafford and the likes of Carr have just pushed the ceiling up.
Oh, yeah, massively.
So he probably would have been getting in the region of 25 or 26 million, which is almost
twice as much,
double what Brady gets.
Yeah, so it's a bit crazy. Like, you can understand why they did it in the end.
Very unique situation, yeah. It would have been if your backup is getting double what like the greatest quarterback of all time was getting. Yeah. So. And Belichick had a press call there yesterday, I believe it was, and he just said that it wasn't sustainable.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense for them.
It doesn't make sense. And there was a lot of complex, you know, variables and shit in the background that we'll probably never know. It's Bill Belichick. He's like he doesn't really say much when people hassle him for questions.
And he always knows what he's doing as well.
Yeah, he's very stonewall. He just said, this is something we had to do. It was all for the good of the team.
Yeah.
So what do you think of him in San Francisco?
I don't know, like, so as we were talking about just before we started, like, he didn't get any extension, so he is going to be a free agent by the time the end of the season comes around.
Which is interesting in itself.
Yeah, so I suppose it's nearly an audition for him now. It's kind of like, look, this team's 0-8, play the last half of the season, show us what you can do and that sort of stuff. So I suppose he just has to show out. San Francisco might sign him again, or he might play well enough to another team next year, like a Jacksonville or something like that might go in on him as well.
Yeah. And what position does he leave, like, Kirk Cousins in? Because there was the rumours that he was going to rejoin. He's going to rejoin Shanahan there in San Francisco. I'm sure he's probably keeping an eye on it just to see how it pans out.
Yeah, I say there's plenty of teams that want Kirk Cousins, because, like, there is a lot of teams that kind of just need that quarterback to kind of push him up and come back to it. It's always the Jags. You look at them, they're so good. Like, so I said the QB market hasn't really changed that much.
Yeah.
But it's be good to see Garoppolo out on his own feet now.
Yeah.
Not in the Belichick system.
Yeah.
With a good offensive coordinator or head coach in Kyle Shanahan, so I don't know.
And he has it will be like another kind of West Coast offense.
Yeah, so.
So he should be okay in that regard.
A few decent pieces around him.
Yeah,
as well,
so. I mean, he has a good running back, which is very helpful. Especially. To have a good running back,
yeah.
You know, that's his pressure valve. You know, if he's not picking up the system, who knows when he's going to be in, first of all.
Yeah.
Because they have CJ Bathard in there. They might give him, you know, let him
probably try and get Garoppolo in as quick as possible.
Yeah.
If you're an 0-8 team, you kind of just want to do something kind of like, oh, look at our new toy.
Yeah.
Go out there and play it. Try
Absolutely.
And win a few games.
And he's in the shop window now, whether it's for to be paid by the San Francisco 49ers or another potential suitor. Like, he has a really good chance here.
All eyes are going to be on him now for these last few games. So.
Yeah. So he has a really good opportunity now to get that big contract with another team if it's not San Francisco 49ers. So, and you called this while we're at the Celtics game. Fair play to you. You hit the nail on the head. You said Hoyer is going to go back to the Pats, and lo and behold.
Straight away, a few months there, you showed me the phone. He just got cut.
Yeah.
And then today, signed a 3-year deal. So
initially, he was actually part of the deal.
But.
And then shit didn't work out.
It was actually what my friend was saying, that there was something about they were going to lose compensatory picks.
That's right, yeah.
So that's why
they couldn't include
them.
They
must have been on the phone to him going like, here, look, if you want to cut someone, just cut Hoyer to make this trade happen.
Yeah.
Easy, like, do you mean, Bill Belichick knows how stuff works in this league, so he probably didn't have to say it to him. He probably knew he was going to be on the market eventually. So.
Yeah, and it's a good, it's a good fit there. He knows the system. He played there a couple of years ago as Brady's understudy. If Brady, even though he's the most pliable, if that's even
the
a term.
Man.
We even have, like, the TB12 book is still here on the table. Like, it's still
so
in front of us.
So much water in
he's
that
just
body.
So much water. Like, I think he's, like, 99% water and 1% avocado.
Yeah.
Which he actually dressed up for in Halloween. He had on Instagram.
Giselle was toast.
The fucking avocado
Couple
and toast.
Goals.
Like, I'm a big avocado and toast man. I just don't know if I could dress up with it with the missus. Like. So, perfect fit. He's back in New England. Should Brady be less pliable and go down? Obviously, that's the Super Bowl ambitions gone, first of all.
Yeah.
But they do have a competent backup that knows the system.
They know, like, the Patriots have been doing the same thing for years. So, like, get him back. It's probably just makes the most sense. Cheap.
Cheap.
That's
serviceable backup.
That's all you want.
That's all you want. We'll move on to the actual trade deadline day, which was Tuesday. And the first, this is where, like, the next blockbuster came in. So Garoppolo was the big one.
Yeah.
Dwayne Brown was kind of expected around the league. Garoppolo, that was the big one. And then we had another bigger one.
I woke up there, and next thing, JJ's gone to the Eagles for a fourth round. And, like, I know a lot of people say it doesn't make sense, but if Adam Gase is, like, trying to show off a bit of muscle,
yeah,
flex a bit and everyone, train like your workhorse running back for a fourth round pick is the best way to make an example of someone.
Absolutely. And he did say, I mean, he was making an example out of somebody. He did mention in a press conference, he was saying that, you know, guys have to work harder. They have to actually take the shit home with them that they're learning in film sessions and in playbook class and whatever they're doing. Clearly, players weren't really putting the effort in. I have heard rumblings from like Miami Dolphins beat writers that said Joye had a bit of a shitty attitude.
Wouldn't learn the playbook.
Wouldn't learn the playbook. Just kind of went on the fly, and you know
was saying after one game where like I think Joye had a bad game, he was saying that like you just can't be going for the home run hitters every time. Like you just have to run off the gut, not be trying to get outside and
stick jump with the play. This sort of stuff. So yeah, I guess they had to let somebody go, and it was a Joye. So they have, is it Damian Williams now?
Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake.
And Kenyon Drake, yeah.
Kenyon Drake's an ex-Alabama running back, so you can probably expect something out of him.
Yeah. Do you know what so I mean? So I think he seems to be the third down back, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because they have Damian Williams.
He's very quick.
In.
He did a big return for them as well at one point.
Yeah. So Joye's gone to the Eagles, which, like, the rich get richer. They're really having a go with it now with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, because like, I was only looking, even Pro Football Focus before the season started, had the Eagles O-line rated at number one overall going in season, and the Dolphins was a lowly 26.
Right.
So if you're Joye Ajayi, you must be going into it thinking, like, if you're making an example of me, thanks for sending me to a Super Bowl contender with a way better O-line.
Yeah.
Like, I know Jason Peters is injured at the moment or whatever, but Jesus, like, yeah.
And it's a good 1-2 punch with Blunt. Like,
Blunt, like, he must be going in there thinking, like, thank God he made an example of me. Because all the Dolphins players, Mike Pansy came out and said, like, everyone gets a message out, like, everyone's going to start working harder. But if you're after getting traded to a Super Bowl contender, do you want to start working harder, like, if you're going to get traded to the Eagles? But
here's a flashback for you. What happened when they made an example out of Blunt in Pittsburgh?
He went straight to the Patriots.
And he won a ring, so...
Yeah, 18 touchdowns in one season, so...
So, I mean, it sounds very... yes, Joye wasn't... not that we know of. Wasn't blazing up in a car with his fellow running backs, but I saw a great meme, and it was like, now in the backfield for the Eagles, it was like a Joye and a Blunt. And I was like, that's fucking brilliant. You gotta love the ingenuity and like the creative thinking of
the
people on the internet.
The memes come out straight away. Like, you can never let the memes rest.
Savagery it is. It's fantastic. So my colleague Jer, obviously a happy man, he gets someone like Joye in the backfield there.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of, because he's British born. He's born in London.
London town.
So I saw NFL UK were all over it. Cause
it straight away.
It was nice exposure for them. They're like, you know, that a UK-born player was kind of like making the headlines.
Yeah, in the trade deadline.
So
probably you see the Eagles in Wembley next year or Twickenham.
Bring them back again. Yeah. So do you reckon that really pushes the Eagles now into... Are they legit? Are they a legit masseur? Because I keep telling Jarek they're going to fuck it up.
And in fairness
to him, he's not getting ahead of himself.
Yeah.
He does agree, like, they will fuck it up. I just winding them up because my Giants are absolutely atrocious. Like, so I have to drag others down with me. Everybody else has to be dragged down with me. So Jer, obviously being one of my best buddies, he is the butt of my jokes. So, but he is saying that they will blow it as well. Do you agree, or do you think that they have a lead? Because they've had a few injuries. They lost Jordan Hicks is on IR now.
I think they do have a legit chance because like people are saying like, oh, you have to wait for this test or this certain test, but they're 7-1, so like that has to speak for itself at some stage. Like
I think they'll be 8-1, but
they're a good team, good quarterback after getting JJ in, a solid defense. Like, that's one thing when they tried to build a dream team and bring them Nnamdi Asamoah and this sort of stuff fell to bits. Now they're kind of like not even a no-name defense, but like no high-profile players in that defense anymore.
Yeah.
And they're balling out. Like Malcolm Jenkins quietly been the best safety in football for 3 or 4 years. And that sort of stuff.
And their secondary was supposed to be their weak link.
You
know, and when they lost Darby with the leg injury, and they're just doing very well. I might actually pick them up in fantasy this week. They're on the waiver wire, so I might take a sneaky chance on them. So that was obviously the major trade of Tuesday morning, and then the major trade which just got in.
It was like 3 minutes before or something.
Must have been done right before the deadline, and this was a shocker. I was very surprised.
Same here.
Wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin for the Carolina Panthers.
Third and a seventh.
Who the Panthers are what, 5-3?
5-3,
Yeah, they are five and three. And second in the division only behind the Saints. So they're like legitimate contenders. And they trade them to the Bills. And what was it for? Was it
third and seventh?
Third and a seventh. which is
not much nowadays. I mean,
was there that going on there in the background, or you said you read something
the
about
the GM apparently said it was a speed trade, so they want to just get quicker on offense. They thought they had young wide receivers that were more than capable of filling in, but there has to be kind of
there must be something there. Like
when you have one of the best red zone threats in the league, who is being productive already, like this year. Like this year, he has like what 32 catches, nearly 500 yards, 2 TDs. So he's doing all right. Like on an offense that's kind of struggling to get like
absolutely
big plays off.
Yeah,
I can't, like, cause outside Devin Funchess, I don't know anyone else in that receiving core.
Mm. So I just don't think Funchess can be the guy that carries the load. I loved Funchess now, even though he's a fuck Michigan, by the way.
Yeah.
Even though he's a Michigan man. Like, I saw him in college and he balled out.
He's a big bastard.
He balled out regularly against Ohio State. I was like, he's going to be a fucking star on Sundays. Yeah. And he came out, the Panthers got him. I was like, here we go.
Mm.
Pair him with Kelvin Benjamin.
Unbelievable.
Serious tandem if they can get to the ball to him.
Because then even at one point, the Panthers didn't know what to do with Funchess. Had him in a tight end and this sort of stuff.
Because he's so big.
H-back and this sort of weird stuff. Like, they don't know what to work with him. And now it's like, I guess we trust you now because now you're our number one wide receiver. Like, especially with Greg Olsen out this year. Why would you give away one of your best targets? I don't really understand it. Like, the Bills must be laughing because the Bills are legitimate contenders this year. Like, in a tight AFC East, they're second there at the moment.
It's funny that they got rid of Watkins. Like, they're really wheeling and dealing. Like,
the Bills are just doing stuff and see what happens. Like, do you mean?
So, do you reckon, so in the same case with the Eagles in the NFC, that addition has, like, pushed them into kind of the next level. Do you reckon this will push the Bills into a similar vein in the AFC? Like, can they challenge the Pats?
Yeah. I'm not sure if they can challenge the Pats, but it definitely helps them in terms of getting that wildcard spot, because the AFC is normally weaker than the NFC, where that's what people like to say anyway.
Yeah, apart from, like, there's, like, you know, Steelers, the 1-2 seed, and then
Patriots,
kind of everybody else.
Chiefs,
like,
are kind of in there, and then it's kind of like just a free-for-all nearly. So
yeah.
I know it definitely helps them getting the wildcard spot, because how long has their playoff drought been at this stage? Like, do you mean?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time since they've been in the playoffs. So, I know, I think it definitely pushes them up into the a 5 or 6, hopefully. Because I'd like to see the Bills do well, because I always like the Bills.
Yeah.
Even they traded away Darius.
Which is that's a huge coup for Jacksonville.
Like, that defense is only getting better and better and better.
I'm just looking up the stats here. Devin Funchess, 33 receptions, pretty much. Like, his stats are very similar. He has less yards than Kelvin Benjamin. He has 357 reception yards, 3 touchdowns. I mean, like, it's not like
number one guy.
It's not like his stats are mind blowing, you know.
Yeah.
So there must have been something there in the background.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a money thing. Like, when was he drafted? He was drafted in Kelvin Benjamin. Was it
3 years ago? I think 3
so
or 4 years ago.
So it could be maybe that he was in line
contracts coming up and that sort of stuff.
And that's the great thing about the NFL is, like, a lot of the time it's just like, you look at a trade, you're like, how the fuck did that happen? Why did it get? And then you look at the finances behind it, and you look at the salary cap, and, you know, they might be stuck for a bit of money, and they're like, well, you know, we don't want to let them go, but we'll get draft picks back.
And at the end of the day, like, it is a business, like, and
absolutely,
Kelvin Benjamin's in that kind of range where it's hard to know what to pay him. Like, he's been good, but he's not been, like, mind-blowingly good. And you know what players like nowadays are always asking for the big money. Yeah. Everyone wants to, like, blockbuster contract and that sort of stuff. So
Odell's gonna get one.
Odell's definitely going to get one.
So they were the major trades. There was a few other ones, like, nothing major. Like Devin, I'm a Giants fan, obviously. I keep track on the old waivers and all that kind of stuff. Devin Taylor rejoined the Giants, D-end there, so you get a little bit of D-end help. But there were a few trades that didn't happen. So we're going to go, we'll start off with the one we're talking shit about at the start. How's the beer, yet? By the way,
it's
all right, yeah.
A few more sips, it's been easier to go down.
What are they called? Trogs? It looks like a Scandinavian. Independent Brewing. What is it?
Pale Ale.
7.5%.
Strong.
I mean, it is. And that's the thing with IPA. It's very hoppy and it's very flowery, so there's a lot of taste to it. So
Lots of hops.
So it's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right, well, I'll push you for your review at the end. So. Right, so we spoke a little bit about AJ McCarron to the Browns from the Bengals. Didn't happen because they fucked up on the paperwork. So you heard it may not have happened on purpose, is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it was kind of on NFL Network, and Rappaport was talking about saying that both people have to sign something before it's sent in, but someone sent it to the league before both teams had it fully signed. So it might have been kind of, I think the Browns kind of went, we're giving away a lot for AJ McCarron.
Yeah.
Send it in early, kind of nullify it.
Yeah.
Or maybe the Bengals, I doubt the Bengals were worried about giving away AJ McCarron.
Because
the Bengals are kind of in a weird state where, like, you could literally trade AJ McCarron or Dalton because they're kind of the same person to me.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen them, like, obviously I'm a Pittsburgh fan, so I've seen the both of them bottle in the playoffs.
Anyway. Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
I've also seen McCarron's wife, Catherine Webb.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking unbelievable.
Jesus.
But we'll leave that for another day. But it was interesting there. I just saw on NFL Network, Marv Lewis was like, oh, I'm almost glad it didn't happen because he's a very
great leader.
He's a very valuable member of the team and all. But like, what sort of message does that send out to a guy? It's like, we wanted to fucking get rid of you.
Yeah.
And now
you're here, so.
And someone bollocks up the paperwork, so back you come and just report for work tomorrow and like it never happened.
Carlos Dunlap tweeted at Jeremy Hill, so defensive end for the Bengals, tweeted at the running back for the Bengals, saying, like, well, this is awkward. Because, so, like, he's gonna rock back into the locker room the next day, and just like, well, lads, like, I'm not going to the worst team in football, I'm still here.
Absolutely, and, like, it's gonna be weird.
You're in that stage with McCarron, as I was saying, like, you're looking, I'm going, do you start him ahead of Dalton?
Mm.
Dalton's just being totally average as usual. Like,
Yeah.
Do you start McCarron? Do you give him a chance? Who knows? Like,
who knows? Because like Dalton's always that, like, it's how do you rate quarterbacks? Is he worse or better than Andy Dalton? Andy Dalton's like that just middleman, you know?
Middleman.
He just kind of like...
He'll never overperform for you.
Just
he would constantly underperform, but he won't overperform for you.
If you look at like mediocrity in the dictionary... There's a picture of that ginger fucker beside it.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Just can't win a playoff game. Either can Matt Stafford, though, and look at the money he's getting. So
yeah, that's true.
They don't seem to value playoff wins when it seems to pay in quarterbacks, which is astounding. No. One of the other tries that didn't happen, Jimmy Graham, there was rumblings that he was going to go the opposite way. He was going to go to the Texans, potentially in a swap with Dwayne Brown.
Yeah.
He hadn't impressed in very much a letdown in Seattle, like, because the numbers he was putting up
his last with few Breeze. Weeks have probably been his best weeks,
and I think that's probably why they kept him.
Yeah,
because they're like
he started the week, because I remember I had him in one stage of fantasy, and another lad had him, and
he's like a little whore for your fantasy. Yeah, league. everybody gets a shot at him hopping
around the place. He's kind of settled in now because he's playing well.
He is, yeah. Now, in fairness, one of his best performances was against the Giants.
Yeah,
and I had him as Paddy's picks till the end of the week. So I'm going now, I'm on record now as I absolutely nailed that one. But it was against the Giants, who are fucking atrocious against tight ends.
So strange, you take that with a pinch of salt. Defense has such good secondary that just can't cover the tight end.
And I think it was like the touchdown he got and one of them that he dropped, he was going up against cornerback. And we've seen from his time at the Saints, if we were throwing him the ball, it doesn't fucking matter. Easy. If he's against a cornerback, it's touchdown 9 out of 10 times. So he's staying in Seattle, which is great, because now they have that tackle in there.
Perfect for him. A
bit more protection. He's a great pressure valve.
Yeah, you don't want him in blocking. Like, they want him out in the slot.
Yeah.
The way he was with the Saints. Because like, you've seen it too many times in Seattle where that fella's stuck in on the line trying to throw a block. And it's just hopeless to throw the block. I know I can't talk shit. I play left tackle at home, but I can't talk shit about an NFL player blocking. But my God, that fella can't block for shite.
I've heard they call you the turnstile in Mullingar as a trail, was it? I'm just saying, I just saw on Twitter, like, I just saw.
My coach is currently working on my 5-year deal, max money.
They're not keeping you on the 5-year option, I heard that. But I like Jimmy Graham staying there. The fact that Wilson, you know, scrambles a lot. I think having that little, like,
hot, perfect guy for it,
like, having the hot route, as they say.
Yeah.
If you're in trouble and scrambling, just get it to Jimmy Graham.
He knows how to find the space.
He's a basketball player. Yeah, he posts it up and he makes catches. So, yeah, I think he's going to go on a good run over the next few weeks as Wilson finds his feet with the added protection there. I think Seattle are definitely going to make a good run at it.
Oh, definitely.
Another try that didn't happen, one close to my heart, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. He was rumored to be on the block. He had a suspension there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
He had been given out because Ben McAdoo basically demoted him to slot coverage. So Eli...
DRC's been known as being the best in the league at some.
Yeah, which is crazy. I don't do slot coverage.
I suppose being labeled a slot guy instead of just being a corner, a corner, it kind of might be an insult, but like,
I think it's lockdown corners generally get paid more than like slot coverage receivers. But they have Janoris Jenkins on one side, who also has been suspended this week. So McAdoo is...
doesn't give a fuck.
There's shit going on there and McAdoo is not standing for it. It'd be interesting to find out what happens with that.
happens when you're 1-6 and people are expecting you to go to the playoffs, like, so.
Yeah, they're not going to the playoffs. No. Like, the stats are obviously way against them, so I can't see them going to the playoffs. And we'll finish up with one of the other trades that never happened. And Odell Beckham was actually petitioning for this one on Instagram.
Tweeting about.
And that was Jarvis Landry to the Giants. Mm-hmm. So he would have reunited with his LSU stablemate.
Because even Jarvis Landry sent out a very cryptic tweet saying something like, along the road, it's not where you start, it's where you end up. Yeah. And I was like, what is this ad? This ad's been smoking or something like that.
Who knows? I think it would have been suicide. Because it's not like the Dolphins are out of contention.
No, the Dolphins are still there.
Like. Which is also why it's so astounding that the Panthers got rid of Benjamin. Because it's like, normally those kind of trades come from teams that are, like, you
tanking.
Know, tanking. 2-5, 3-4, where out everybody else...
Totally out of contention.
I was like, why would you get rid of your starting running back and, like, your stud receiver? It just wouldn't make any sense. Especially when you haven't got Tannehill in there. You have either Cutler or Matt Moore.
Yeah.
They need a playmaker.
They need someone to do something for them. Like.
So, like, I don't know where those
like Landry, Landry's been one of the most solid wide receivers since he's come into the league. Like,
yeah.
He catches nearly every ball that's thrown at him. He's so good at getting the rack yardage as well. Like, so.
And when you look at it on paper, like, receiving options, they've got Kenny Stills, very underrated.
Yeah.
I picked him the odd time in DraftKings. He's put up big numbers. You have Devontae Parker, not the worst in the world.
He's really, like, exciting prospect. Like, really exciting. The more he gets under his belt, some of his catches he might have been ridiculous.
Julius Thomas at high end. Thomas. I mean, he can still get it done.
If you want to take some catch 10 touchdowns a season.
His stats. December, like, so. Yeah, his stats don't suggest that he's having a great year, but I know he just still has it.
Yeah.
He just needs that chemistry with the quarterback. Mm. And obviously at the moment, with the quarterback carousel, it's like he's playing with his third quarterback of the fucking same season.
Yeah,
so
it's a bit mad for him.
So, great week for just trades.
Probably the most exciting deadline day ever, because deadline day is usually just like, everyone's waiting for the big trade to happen, and then nothing happens. So.
A buddy of mine as well, as you know, current Rebel, Paul Grogan said it's getting very like the British kind of soccer, you know, like deadline day.
Yeah.
When you see Harry Redknapp pulling out of the car park and he's
what's
like
going on?
Hanging out of the car, like fucking talking to reporters about what's going on. Like, I thought, you know, that was great that we are starting to get that like buzz and excitement.
Like, yeah.
And I posted like a few like GIFs and memes and all on Twitter, and it was like one of them was like Kevin Hart, where he's like looking and it's like waiting on the next trade and who is it going to be and all.
What
like.
About Larry Fitz and Logan Airport?
You're going to call me out on the air now, so I'm going to have to talk about it. So I'm very annoyed with myself. Like, I'm like totally anti-fake news, but I got caught out because we've like given it the Paddy Pigskin fake news on this show. I got caught out by fake news. There was a picture circulating the internet showed what people thought was Larry Fitz
very
and Logan Airport.
Very athletic guy with dreadlocks.
Turns out it was just a black guy that was well built with dreadlocks.
But see, the one giveaway was he was renting a car.
Yes.
Like, if you're... And it's like it's not like Premier League where, like, you have to go and set the deal first.
Yeah.
Like, Larry Fitz would have got told last second and then flown over. Like.
Yeah.
So I've seen it blow up all over the place, like...
But the Pats are stingy fuckers.
Oh, they are, yeah.
Give me Von Miller money. What happens to you? See you later. You're on the first plane to Cleveland. So it wouldn't be beyond the realm of possibility.
Make for him rent his own car.
Bill is like, here's like a $20 voucher off your rental car. Like,
rent a car. Rent a Prius is the cheapest.
Yes. So I got caught out by fake news. I had tweeted it. A buddy of mine who actually knows people in Logan said 2 or 3 of my buddies confirmed that it's him.
Larry Fitz.
And I was like, it's just a black dude with dreads. So we got caught out there. So thanks for calling me out about that. Okay, that wraps up our talk about the trades for deadline week. So before I dump you out at Logan Airport for your flight home back to the motherland, we're going to go through our week 9 picks. So crazy that we're in week 9 already.
I know, it's flying by. I hate the fact that it goes by so quickly. Like, but
can we say we're halfway through? Because there's technically 17 weeks, but 16 games. We're at the halfway point. So, teams on bye this week, Chicago Bears, Cleveland Browns, I was going to say San Diego Chargers there, Los Angeles Chargers, Minnesota Vikings, the New England Patriots, and your Pittsburgh Steelers.
Very boring week for me now.
Very boring. That's the same with me last week, although it was less stressed because I didn't have to fucking watch the Giants play. So. Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets, Thursday Night Football. Who have you got?
I have the Bills all day. Picked up Tyrod Taylor for my fantasy team.
Fantastic.
I'm kind of dealing and wheeling with my quarterbacks at this stage. Had Mariota for a while, but the injury threw me off. But I think, I don't know, I'm not sure if we'll see that much Calvin Benjamin, but I think the Bills are a lot better overall than the Jets. The Jets are still a bit of a mess, you see in some games.
Yeah, yeah.
Some games the seem all right, and in other games are just complete messes.
Very inconsistent.
I take the Bills all day.
I've got the Bills as well on the road. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Might be too early for Benjamin to go in. But, you know,
maybe get a rep or two.
Yeah, he's still, like, it's not like he has to know what everybody else is doing around him.
Exactly. He knows
just
his route.
Like. Run a go route.
Yeah.
And see you later.
That's probably what bring him off the red zone.
Yeah.
Snaps.
Yeah, just toss a jump ball in the end zone to him. Right, so we both have the Bills there. I think we'll probably agree on this one. Indianapolis Colts at the Houston Texans.
Yeah. I think Houston's going to have a very handy day. I said Sean Watson's probably going to have another big day. But this is probably one of those funny games where you go see those rookie quarterbacks that will just have a bit of a stall game. Like, people be like, Deshaun Watson will put up like 400 yards,
yeah,
40 E's. Everyone's going to start starting them, DraftKings and under fancy teams. And he might just have a quiet day, but I still see them winning comfortably.
Okay. I have them winning comfortably as well. I think Hopkins and Fuller have another big one. I took Fuller off the waiver wire there a few weeks ago.
I got a very dodgy trade for him. I traded Jonathan Stewart for Will Fuller.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's absolute daylight robbery. But fair play to you. If it works, it works. Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans.
I'm going to go against the Ravens every single day of my life. So Tennessee are going to win.
The Ravens fucked us all up last week. Because all five of us had the Dolphins. And they put that 40 burger up.
I just absolutely despise the Ravens. And I always will.
Fair enough. And Corey Davis looks like he's back now. He's been out since week two.
Yeah, it's either this week or next week. Yeah. He's going to be fully back. But so, I know Baltimore have those games where they look like a playoff contender again. Then just have these games where they just can't work anything at all as a team. So, I know I'd pick Tennessee.
And do we even know if Flacco's out with a concussion protocol?
Apparently he's still out.
Well, yeah,
as
well, there
now,
you go.
As well, of then, now he's,
yeah,
still out. So.
100% Tennessee there. We have the Atlanta Falcons. That was our dog barking, our studio dog barking in the background there. He hasn't been on the show in a few weeks, actually. That's probably why he's barking. We got the Atlanta Falcons. Here's a juicy one, the NFC South.
Yeah,
4-3 Falcons against the 5-3 Carolina Panthers, minus Kelvin Benjamin. So who have we got here?
I don't know. This kind of, I don't like the Falcons as a team. I think Carolina, I might give Carolina the slight advantage. But this is kind of a real 50-50 game for me.
It is. It's a toss-up.
Because
sure,
those NFC South Division games, it's so hard to call them most years.
So you're going with the Panthers.
I think I give Carolina the slight advantage. Yeah. Slightest advantage, though.
Atlanta haven't been firing on all cylinders. Like, Julio Jones has been fucking barely involved. So I have the Panthers as well. Another one in the same division, Tampa Bay Buccaneers at your Bourbon Street favourites, New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans, boy.
Who have you got there?
I'd give it to New Orleans all day. I think it's going to be an absolute blowout. Even though I'm just after totally contradicting myself by saying that these division games are tight, New Orleans have just been too impressive and the Bucs have just been too inconsistent.
Yeah, I agree. They've got a good 1-2 punch there with Kamara and Ingram.
Probably the best tandem in the league at the moment. Like, so.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely one of the best. And Michael Thomas, still like not really there, so if they do find their feet and they can get the ball to him and
just
spread the ball around.
Stephen's been so good as well. So.
That's true. A little bit cold in the last few weeks, but they definitely have the pieces there. Kenny Vaccaro's looking like a fucking Pro Bowl safety.
Yeah, looking all pro to him.
Then we have Cincinnati Bengals at the Jacksonville Jags.
Once again, I'm going to totally go against the other AFC North team, go Jacksonville all day. I think Jacksonville will win it comfortably because Dalton crumbles under pressure. And there's so much pressure coming from that Jags line, especially with Darius Adam as a run-stopping element. And he was also a pretty good pass rusher, even if he left him in third down. So, Jacksonville all day.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing AJ Green going up against Ramsey.
Yeah, that's going to be either Ramsey or Boye.
Or Boye. Could be a juicy one there. Here's an easy one. LA Rams against my New York crying Jordans.
I'm going to go with the Rams, but I don't think it's going to be as like, I don't think it's going to be a big blowout. I think it will be a tight game because the Giants defense is still a pretty good defense.
It is.
The Rams offense obviously like has been firing this year, but I know there's also those games where those explosive offenses will just stall and it could be this game for them.
And I think Sammy Watkins might put up some decent numbers with Janoris
Jenkins
out and Cooper Kupp good in the slot there as well.
Pretty good guy, yeah.
I have the Rams win as well. Denver Broncos at the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'd give it to Philly, but I still think with Osweiler starting, it's one of those games where like people are going to be like, oh, Brock's going to come in and totally fuck it up. He's going to be shit. Like, but then he might just come in and just beat the Eagles. People, the Brock train, hype train is going to start again. And he'll get another big contract next year or something.
Yeah. He'd be stealing a living once again.
I'd still give it to the Eagles. So.
I got the Phillies. Or the Phillies, that's the baseball team. I have Philadelphia Eagles winning as well. Jeez, we've agreed on all of them so far.
Jesus,
this is very fucking rare that this happens. Arizona Cardinals at San Francisco 49ers.
This is going to be a absolute fuck up of a game, I'd say. Just two teams are just terrible this year, but I'd probably give the slight advantage to Arizona because San Francisco are probably in a bit too much of a transition period with Garoppolo coming in now.
Yeah.
I'd say Arizona just have a bit more pieces there and they'll have to win the game.
I have Arizona as well. This is we're being very too, we're way too agreeable.
I know.
Washington Redskins at the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
Another one. You're gonna agree with me again, aren't you?
I'd probably say Seattle. I know Washington like coming out in games like this and putting up good performances. Like people aren't giving them that much of a chance against the Raiders, saying that the Raiders just had a bit more than the Redskins.
Yep.
I think the Redskins could play a good game, but the way Seattle have played over the last few weeks, especially with that win against the Texans, showing how good their offense is when it wants to be.
Yeah.
I'd have to give it to Seattle.
Okay. I have Seattle as well. No doubt. Kansas City Chiefs. Now this is a proper toss up. This is Kansas City Chiefs at the Dallas Cowboys.
This is a tough one.
Chiefs are 1-point favorites in Vegas, so yeah, it really is a pick 'em.
I think this is probably going to be one I'm going to disagree with you on. I think I would give it to Dallas.
Okay.
I don't know why. I just have that gut feeling where Alfred Morris, like people are going to be like freaking out about, oh, Ezekiel is not playing, but Alfred Morris is going to come out and he's going to run for like 180, two touchdowns and that sort of stuff. Do you mean? And like Dallas do, like their defense is great, but to have enough pieces there to play well on any given day, like as any team does. But like I do like Dallas as an overall team, and
okay,
I know Kansas just thinking some games are just kind of being shaky, and so I think Dallas could win this.
It actually has the highest over under of the week at 51.
Jesus,
so they're expecting points.
A lot of scores, like
I got the Chiefs winning. So finally, we fucking disagree on something. Sunday night game, Oakland Raiders, another back to back. Long road trip for them. They're travelling to Miami to the Dolphins.
Oakland. Dolphins, once again, are in that kind of period. Like
they just lost their playmaker.
Like Jay Cutler and Matt Moore, like pick your poison kind of with them.
Yeah.
Defense hasn't been playing up to par. Offense definitely hasn't been playing up to par. Oakland just have too many pieces in offense. Derek Carr, Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree. I can't see them beating the Raiders.
Yeah, I have the Raiders. Stopping the skid and winning a road game there as well in Miami. And finally, Monday Night Football, cracker in the NFC North, Detroit Lions, who focus over regularly on the show against the Green Bay Packers.
I don't
franchise QB against the unproven new guy.
Yeah, I don't like betting on the Lions. They all seem to fuck up my bets at home, but I'm leaning with the Lions, but I still think the Packers are going to just all of a sudden click with Brett Hundley, where like the run and gun kind of style, more like boot actions, kind of getting back to what Rodgers was good at doing, getting outside the pocket, getting thrown. It's going to happen eventually, and it could be this week, because the Lions defense, I don't really know what to make of it. Darius Slay is very good, Quinn's very good, but I don't really kind of like anything else there apart from Ansah, who's kind of been on and off this season, because I obviously just got to watch him closely playing the Steelers the other night. So no, I think Green Bay could take a good shot at him, but I think Detroit will win.
Okay. I've got Detroit as well. And they need to get... The Packers need to get Martavis Bennett involved.
Yeah.
His stats are like non-existent.
Because I picked him up in DraftKings my first week thinking, Grant, this guy was so cheap.
Yeah.
Going to go off. Did not. I think he had one catch.
And look at the other side. Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
Another disaster.
He was nearly traded as well. Like they were shopping him for a good while.
I think there's three games where he had 6, 9, and 9 yards.
Jesus.
Like that's
Christ.
Just terrible for where he was
for
drafted.
For a lad that was drafted so high.
Right. We'll recap anyway. Next week on the show we always recap how we did. So
see how perfect our picks are.
Yes. We did. We had a good week last week, actually. We did very well. Barry only got one wrong.
Jesus.
I only got two wrong. So we had a good week last week. But I'm
up against it this week, so
a lot of the favourites won. So you know. And Barry's way ahead of us, so we gotta get some of the we have to start picking upsets, so we're not gonna catch him. Joe, thanks very much for coming on. Appreciate your insight. It's great having you over here in Boston.
Yeah, it was great crack. I was looking forward to doing this when I came over. I kind of knew I was going to be hooking up with you over here, so.
No homo.
Pleasure to do it.
No homo.
No homo at all.
But before I let you go, I got to get your review here on our perpetual, named after the Browns, because they're so fucking terrible.
I suppose I nearly finished it at this stage. I can't rate it that low. It's actually not that bad.
We accept decimals, by the way. We allow decimals, like, so
see,
it can't be a decimal.
I drink when I'd be drinking Guinness and Heineken and Budweiser, so I'm not really fine tuned my taste yet.
Yeah, the flavour in this is bold. So yeah, finish. Take a good swig of it there.
I'd probably give it a 6.5.
6.5? Okay.
It's not that bad. It's a bit kind of tangly on the tongue, I'd say. For someone who's...
That's what she said.
For someone that's so used to basic beer, like...
Okay. I'm not going to go much better. This is probably the one I have least enjoyed out of the three so far. I'm going to give it a 6.8. Yeah, so we're going to tweet them now and we're going to give them shit.
Tell them how shit their beer is.
Pretty much, yeah. And then like expect them to give us free beer for tweeting. But anyway, Grant, cheers. Joe, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Pleasure having you on. We'll get you to the airport and back to Mullingar.
Cheers.
Thank you. And as always, we will wrap up this episode of Paddy Pigskin with our fantasy football segment, Paddy's Picks. So I'll recap week 8. So as always, stats from NFL.com, and probably not as good as I had my week in week 7, but some decent results here. So I'll start with quarterback. Carson Wentz, not as good as his game versus the Redskins, but he still had a decent game against the San Francisco 49ers. 211 yards with 2 TDs. We also had an INT, which was good for 19.25 points. Running back, Jordan Howard of the Bears on the road to the Saints. 102 yards rushing and 19 yards receiving, so he got 12.1 points there. Wide receiver, Keenan Allen of the Chargers on the road to the New England Patriots. Not the best versus a Gilmore-less Pats, but only 61 yards there for 6.1 points. Tight end, Kyle Rudolph finally produced in London versus Cleveland. And he's actually just inside the top 10 tight ends in the league, fantasy football-wise. He only had 27 yards, but he did catch a touchdown, which was good for 7.7 points. And I also had the Vikings defense on my Paddy's Picks against the Browns. 3 sacks, 2 fumble recoveries in London, good for a decent 8 points. And finally, kicker, Jake Elliott of the Eagles versus San Francisco 49ers. Actually had his lowest scoring outing of the year versus San Fran, but still managed 2 field goals and a PAT, which was good for 7 points. So they were the week 8 Paddy's Picks. So let's get to week 9 picks. And remember, the teams on bye this week are the Bears, the Browns, the Chargers of Los Angeles, the Vikings, the Pats, and the Steelers. So for quarterback, I'm liking Russell Wilson this week, and as expected, he's starting to catch fire in the kind of the latter half of the season. And he faces the Redskins this week. He's put up 26 plus points in 4 of his last 5, and the Redskins are averaging 23 points in fantasy a game to quarterbacks on the road. So start Russell Wilson. Running back, I'm doing a bit of an insurance policy this week at running back. So I recommend Lamar Miller going against the Indianapolis Colts. They give up the 4th most PPR points to opposing running backs. But at the moment, he is questionable on the injury report. So if he doesn't go, my backup start is Alvin Kamara of the Saints versus the Bucks as part of that great 1-2 punch with Mark Ingram. The Bucks give up 2nd most PPR points on the road to running backs. So there's my, I guess you can call it, 2 little picks for our running back this week. Wide receiver, with Ezekiel Elliott out on suspension, I think the Cowboys will lean on Dez Bryant versus Kansas City. The Chiefs have allowed 8 touchdowns and 3rd most points to wide receivers on the road, so start Dez. Tight end, going back to Jimmy Graham this week versus the Redskins. See if he can put up another good line versus an NFC East team. So far this year, Washington D has given up 5 of the top 10 performances to tight end, so start Jimmy Graham there. Defense, I'm on the Jags hype train big time, and they're going up against Cincinnati this week. With the addition of Marcel Darius to the D-line, I have Calais Campbell on my team. I'm expecting big things from this defensive line and defense, really, as a unit. I think they give Dalton a rough time here, so start the Jags defense. And finally, kicker, old man Adam Vinatieri going up against the Texans. Had 11 points last week, and the Texans are averaging 9 points to kickers at home. So start old man Adam. And that is my week 9 Paddy's Picks. So best of luck with your fantasy matchups, and
hopefully you take some of my advice and hopefully it pays off you. And that will wrap up episode 20 of Paddy Pigskin. Thank you very much for tuning in. Tune in next week where, as always, we will have less slant and more slauncha. Take care.